I'm going to preach this morning on our VBS theme verse. This is our verse for the week, 2 Peter 1:3. So we'll jump out of our regular series for just this morning for that. And next week too, by the way. We have a baptism service coming up, second Sunday of September. So I think it's the 7th, 9th. So next week I'm going to preach about baptism, or at least that will be part of the message, about the conversion of Lydia in the book of Acts. And so if you're interested in finding out what baptism is all about, come back next week. Let me ask the Lord for his help as we look at his word. Our Father, we're grateful to you for your word and that it's true, and I pray that you would speak to us right now. Open our hearts to hear from you, to hear what you've said, to understand it, but more than that, to believe it and to live it out. And so we pray that you would do your work right now. Help us to worship you, even this morning as we study your word together. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the text is 2 Peter 1:3, but I'm going to read the whole context. I'm going to read verses 1 to 11, 2 Peter 1, verses 1 to 11, just so you see the verse in the context, and I don't want you to think that I'm ripping this verse out of the context and telling you what I think it means or what I want you to think it means. I want us to see what the author meant when he wrote these words, because God inspired him to write it in that context. So let's read it there. I'll read verses 1 to 11. From Simon Peter, or Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So this is the author, the same Peter who was Jesus' disciple, the same one who denied him three times. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The same Peter who denied Jesus three times, now Jesus is using to get his message out there. And it's an amazing story of forgiveness and redemption, right? Okay, to those who have received a faith equal to ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided to you. This is God's word. What is it that would make your life better if you had it? Like, if you could think of one thing or two things that if you had that, it would make all the difference. It would turn your life around. It would make your life a whole lot better. For somebody who's living in my house right now, the one thing that would make all the difference in his life, if he could just have that is a metal baseball bat. You know, foam bats are fine. Wiffle ball bats, the plastic ones, are okay. But if you really want to hit a hard baseball a really long distance, you need a metal bat. And so this is the thing that this person who lives in my house talks about constantly and dreams about and obsesses over. And we have conversations that go something like this. Poppy, how much does a metal baseball bat cost? I don't know. If I had $7.42, could I buy a metal baseball bat? I'm like, you probably better keep saving. What if I had $7.47? Could I get one then? Probably need to keep saving. And just the conversation goes on and on. But, you know, if he got this metal bat, probably his life would be so transformed, he'd be in the major leagues. Like, he'd be leaving home. He'd be, you know, it would happen, like, immediately. And I might get in trouble for telling you this, but he would want to play on the team that wears pinstripes. Ooh, that's terrible. But anyway, that's the one thing that would transform his life. And, yeah, there's some prayer. There's some prayer needed, right? Okay. But you other kids, you know, what is the one thing that if you had it would transform your life, that would make all the difference? Like if you play on a sports team, maybe it's that you'd want to win the championship. Or maybe you want to be the one to hit the game-winning home run or shoot the game-winning three-pointer. And maybe a scout would be there and you'd be chosen to play on this great team. Some of you, maybe your dreams are more modest. When I played football, believe it or not, I played football when I was a kid. And one year, our team was so bad, so awful, that we went most of the season, and not only had we not won a game yet, we hadn't scored a touchdown. And so before this one game, it was a road game, the coach, after warm-ups, took us to the end of the field under the goalpost, and he said, sit down here, feel the grass, smell the dirt. I want you to feel at home here. This is where we need to go. We need to get to the end zone tonight. Get used to this. And I'm here to testify to you this morning that we were not a championship quality team, but we made it to the end zone that night. We scored. It was beautiful. Thank you. I've never been so encouraged. But you see where my football career went. That's why I'm a pastor. That's not the only reason. Maybe some of you have other dreams. Maybe it's to, if you had that one thing, it would change your life. If you had a beautiful prom dress, or if you could just get that part-time job, or if you could just get the scholarship that you want to the school of your dreams. And some of you adults, maybe you have other things you think about. If I could just have this one thing, it would make all the difference. If I could just get another job, right? Or if I could just get into a different house, the house that we're living in, you know, you say, oh, like we're all on top of each other. If I could just get to one, give us a little more room. We're a little farther away from the neighbors. Or you think, if I could just find true love, or if I could just rekindle the love that used to be there, or if I could just have this relationship restored that's been broken, that would make all the difference. Or if I could just see my kids successful and happy, that's what I want. That would make all the difference, okay? So think about that. What would be the one or the two things that would make all the difference? Now let me go back to the text, and let me read you verse 3. His divine power, God's, you know, Jesus' divine power is God, has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The two things that Peter says that we need are life and godliness. Life and godliness. And when he says life, what he's talking about is eternal life, life with God forever. When he's talking about godliness, what he's talking about is having God's character in the way that you live. And Peter says these are the things that we really need. So there are things that we long for, but these two things, you know, some of the things that we long for are great, and I'm not trying to tell you that it's bad to long for a new job or a new house or to find true love. Some of the things that we think this is be the one thing, well, they're not as good as some of the other things. But the things that are most important that we really need more than anything else are these two things, eternal life and godliness. These are the things that if you're a human being and you're here today, these would make all the difference in your life if you had them. These are the things that we need most of all. They're more important than anything else, even a beautiful prom dress, even a metal baseball bat. Life and godliness. And so I want to break this down today, because what this says is his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So those are the things that we need, and these are also the things that God gives to us. God's power gives us life and godliness. And how does he give it to us? Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The one who called us by his own glory and goodness is Jesus. Okay? So God's power gives us everything we need for life and godliness through knowing Jesus. When we know Jesus, God's divine power works in us so that we can have eternal life and godliness. So let's break this down. We're going to talk about two things today. Here are the two things. Number one, how God gives us life through knowing Jesus. Okay? And number two, how God gives us godliness through knowing Jesus. So those two things, how God gives us life through knowing Jesus and how God gives us godliness through knowing Jesus. Number one, are you ready? Here we go. How God gives us life through knowing Jesus. When Peter says life, he means eternal life. Life forever with God. Sometimes we talk about this as salvation, being saved. But it's life forever with God, that when you die, you will rise from the dead. When Jesus comes back, you'll rise from the dead, and you will live with God forever. And more than that, you can have a connection to God and a closeness with God, intimacy with God even right now, eternal life, spiritual life right now, life with God. And why do we need it? Why do we need eternal life? I'm going to give you the short version of the history of the universe. Okay? Here's the history of the world in 30 seconds. You ready? God made everything that there is. God is the creator. He made everything. And he made the world and made us, and he gave it to us to enjoy and to use it in a way that honors him. He told us how to honor him and worship him and follow him and obey him. But people said to God, no thanks, I want to do it my way. I'll take what you gave me, but you stay out of my life. People said that to God. I'll do things my way. And when people did that, the world was broken and started to fall apart. And people were broken, and we started to fall apart. The result of our sin is that everything gets messed up. And so the universe gets messed up, but also I get messed up because I'm disconnected now from God, and as a result, I'm disconnected from other people and from myself, and I start to fall apart and I die. The wages of sin is death. But when Peter talks about it, if you'll look in verse 4, he talks about the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. He says the world is corrupt. Does anybody here want to argue that the world is not corrupt? I didn't think so, right? In the world corrupt? But part of the problem is that we're part of the problem. We have those evil desires. Each one of us, you and I, all of us have those same evil desires. And we rebel against God too. Have you ever disobeyed your mom and dad? Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever done something cruel or said something mean to another person? Have you ever said to God, I'll decide what's right and wrong for me. God, you stay out of it. I'll decide what's right. Okay? We've all done that. And so that means we're all sinners. And so we're all under the judgment of God. And we all experience this corruption that's in the world because of evil desires. And unless some miracle happens, we're part of that. And we deserve to be separated from God forever. Eternal death. So we need eternal life. But here, that was the bad news. Okay, it took more than 30 seconds, sorry. But that was still a pretty quick version of the history of the universe. That was the bad news. Here's the good news. What we need, God gives us. His divine power has given us everything we need for life. God's power gives us life. God gave us life through sending his son Jesus. It says, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Jesus has glory. He's glorious because he's God. He's the Son of God. He's the perfect Son of God. God sent his son into the world. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived. He lived a perfect life. That's why it talks about his goodness. So Jesus is glorious. He has his glory and his goodness. He lived a perfect life without sin. And then he took the punishment that we deserve on himself when he died for our sins on the cross and rose again. That's the divine power working to save us. It's as if you had to take a test. Let's say you had to take a test in school and you had to pass this test to pass your grade to go on summer vacation. So there's a lot of pressure on the test. And you can imagine like sitting in your desk in school and the teacher's passing all the tests and everybody's sitting there chewing on their number two pencils. And the teacher gives these solemn instructions for taking the test, turns the clock on, go. And then the teacher walks over to your desk, says, get up, sits down. She fills out your test, fills in all the right answers. You pass 100%. Okay? Would that ever happen? The teacher did what was required for you. Or it's sort of like this. When I was a kid playing football, if you were late to practice, you had to run hills. So like our practice field was in a low spot and there were these steep hills on the side and you had to like run up and run down if you were late until the coach got tired, you know, like after practice. Imagine you're late to practice one day. So you have to run 20 hills and you have to run up and down 20 times, real steep. You know, what if the coach says, okay, everybody line up. Now sit down and drink Gatorade. And he ran the hills for you. He took the punishment that you deserved. Would that ever happen? I've never seen a coach like that. But what Jesus did for us is even better than that, right? He lived the life that we should have lived. He got the perfect score that we should have gotten. He died the death that we should have died. He took the punishment on us that we deserve in our place. And rose again. Jesus did that for us. And so his divine power has given us everything that we need for life, for eternal life, through the knowledge of him who called us. And we receive that gift of that God has given us, the eternal life, through the knowledge of Jesus, through knowing Jesus. Knowing him, knowing about him, knowing this good news that I've just shared with you, but also knowing him like you know your best friend, knowing him intimately, trusting in him. You know, I know about Abraham Lincoln, but I know my wife. You know Jesus, you trust in him, you have confidence in him, and that's how you receive the gift that God has given you through his divine power, trusting yourself to it, believing in Jesus. So God gives us life by his divine power, through knowing Jesus. You receive that life through knowing Jesus. So that was the first thing. Now I want to talk about how God gives us godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. Godliness is God's character. We need to live godly lives, right? And that means if we're going to live a godly life and have God's character, it doesn't mean that you share in God's power. What Peter writes about, let me find it. You may share in the divine nature. That's verse 4. Share in the divine nature. That doesn't mean that you have God's power. That doesn't mean you become a god. But it means that God's character is at work in your life so that you live the way that he would want you to live, morally pure. That you do the right thing instead of the wrong thing. That you do what's right instead of what's wrong, just like God does what's right instead of what's wrong. That you tell the truth instead of twisting the truth, right? that you show love instead of selfish motivations. That's what I mean by godliness. And what Peter tells the people he's writing to, who are Christians, it says they have a faith, the same faith that he does. He's telling them, now you need to live a godly life. You need to make every effort to live a godly life. Now, why should they live a godly life? A couple of reasons. The first thing is it confirms their calling. Jesus has called them to be believers in him. He's elected them. He's called them to be believers in him. And if they live a godly life, it confirms that calling. It proves that calling. You notice the priority. Notice what's first. It says life first and then godliness. It's not that you live a godly life and then God accepts you and gives you eternal life. Sometimes we think that's how it works. We think, if I'm good enough, then God will accept me. If I live a godly enough life, then God will accept me and reward me with eternal life. It's not that at all. First, he gives us life on the basis of what Jesus has done for us. And then because we've received eternal life, we live it out. We want to live for him. We want to live a godly life. It comes second. It confirms our calling. It proves that that Jesus really has saved us when we're making an effort to live for him. The second reason we should try to live a godly life, make every effort, is because it makes us useful. Peter says it keeps you from being unfruitful or unuseful. So he says that with a kind of a double negative, but if you do live a godly life, you will be useful. What do the people around you need most from you? They need you to be a holy person. They need you to be a godly person. When you live a godly life, it helps you to be a better son or daughter or mother or father, or spouse, coworker, teammate, friend. The people around you need from you is to live a godly life. And if you live a godly life, then God can use you. If you say to God, I will trust you and I will prove to you that I trust you by obeying your word, then God is able to take you and use you for him, to use you to do amazing, incredible things, to share his good news and his love with the people around you. If you don't live a godly life, would anybody believe you when you told them about Jesus? I mean, it destroys your credibility, right? But so if you do live a holy life, God will use you. It confirms your calling and it helps you to be useful. Now, that's why we need to live a godly life. And I've said that we need to make every effort to live a godly life. But the other thing that this verse says is God's power gives it to us. God's power gives us godliness. So when we make an effort to live a holy, godly life, it's not about our power. It's about learning to rely on God's power to live a godly life. And let me give you an imperfect illustration of what I'm talking about. Imagine you have to go on a long trip on an airplane. Okay? So you find your seat, you buckle up, the plane is about to take off, and you start flapping your wings, flapping your arms, because you got to get this plane off the ground. How ridiculous is that? It's crazy. What powers the plane? It's not you. It's jet fuel. Jet fuel powers the plane. And so what the people that work for the airline have to do is make sure that the jet fuel gets into the plane, right? They need to make sure they're relying on the jet fuel to get off the ground, that tank truck comes up and fills up the plane with fuel. In the same way, or in a similar way, it's not a perfect illustration, when we try to live a godly life, it's not about our power, it's about relying on God's power. God's power works in our life. And how do we rely on his power? How do we get the fuel, the divine power, the fuel into our lives so that we can live a holy life? What does it say? His divine power has given us everything that we need for godliness through the knowledge of him, through knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus gets you the power to live a godly life. Let me find my text again. So let me give you a couple of illustrations on a couple of examples of how this could play out, how knowing Jesus can help you to live a godly life. Let's say in your previous life before you met Jesus, when you were with a certain group of friends, you used your language like they did in a crass, mean, hateful or filthy kind of a way. That's how you use your language because that's how they did it. And let's say that now that you've met Jesus, and you're going to hang out with those people again, there's a temptation, right, to fall back into the way that you spoke with them. But if you know Jesus, you know that he's forgiven you for all the cruel words that you said before, the perverted words that you said before. You've been forgiven from that. And you know that Jesus always spoke the truth in love and that he's called you to be like him and to speak the truth in love. And so through knowing him and knowing the truth that he's spoken to you and the love that he's spoken to you with his words, that motivates you and changes you so that you want to speak the words like he spoke. Let's imagine now that you're taking a test in school. There's a temptation to cheat, right? Knowing Jesus gives you the power that you need to be honest on that test, because you know that Jesus was always honest, and beyond that, God has accepted you because of Jesus' honesty, not your honesty. You've already been accepted by God. So no matter what, even if the college doesn't accept you, Jesus has accepted you. God has accepted you. You can rest in God's acceptance, and so you don't have to cheat. It gives you the power that you need to live an honest life. Last example, imagine that there's somebody in your life who's difficult to love. Anybody got anybody like that? Don't have to raise your hand. Maybe there's somebody in your life who's difficult to love. Knowing Jesus gives you the power that you need to love that person, because you know that Jesus loved you when you were difficult to love. So what transforms your heart more than that? Jesus loved me when I was difficult to love, so of course I can show his love to this other person. God gives us godliness through knowing Jesus. So let me sum this up. Life and godliness are both gifts of God that we receive through knowing Jesus. And so if you're here today and you haven't met Jesus, you don't know him, and you haven't received eternal life from him, I want to just encourage you. You've heard his good news. Believe it. Know him. Receive him. Trust him. Know Jesus. And if you want to know more about that, I would love to talk to you, or one of our other leaders would love to talk to you about the good news and how you can receive that through believing in it, trusting it, through knowing Jesus. And for those of us who are here today who have met Jesus, who are believers in Christ, we need to live a godly life. We need to show that we really have met the Lord through our lifestyle, through our actions, through our words, through our motivations. We need to prove it in the way that we live a godly life. How can we have God's power making us, transforming us into godly people? Through knowing Jesus. How do you know Jesus? It's not a secret. It's the Christians for centuries have known that the way to know Jesus is through his word. Through his word. Through soaking in his word. You need to soak in his word like you soak in a hot tub or a bubble bath. You need to marinate your brain in the word of God. As you know Jesus, God's divine power gives you what you need for life and godliness. And as he tells you something, you then need to obey it, you know. And it starts this beautiful, virtuous cycle of I hear from God and I believe it, and I live it out, and then he shows me more. And I see how true it is, and you go forward. And another way that you can know Jesus is through his people. Jesus says to us, I'm with you always. He's with his people. And so when you connect to his people and fellowship with his people, Jesus is there. And you can know him through being with the people of God. What is it that we really need in our life? eternal life, and godliness. Those are the things that if we had them, would make all the difference. And those are things that God has given us through knowing Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for what we've seen today. And I pray that that you would let this sink into our hearts and that we would just respond in faith. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's have the kids come back up for one more song before we go, as we prepare for the Lord's table. So the next song is What Great Love. Kids can come up, everybody can stand, and we'll sing another VBS song.